Lessons for Libya's Fledgling Economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Yesterday, it seemed victory was at hand for Libyan rebels. Today, the situation looks a lot hazier. One of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's sons has reappeared, and rebels have retreated from parts of Tripoli. Robert Powell joins me now to talk about what this might mean for Libya's economy. He specializes in the Middle East and North Africa for the Economist Intelligence Unit. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning.
Robert, yesterday it seemed like the Gaddafi regime was going to topple. Now it seems like there's a little bit more uncertainty. What does that mean for Libya's government and for Libya's economy?
Yeah, there's a considerable level of doubt. We are in the midst of a fog of war. And, of course, in terms of investment, in terms of businessmen, in terms of that country's economy, it really cannot move forward until we have some certainty on the way ahead.
Oil is obviously one of the big topics. Libya is very oil rich. In your opinion, is that going to make it easier for Libya to move forward or potentially more difficult?
It should make it a lot easier. It's also, if you keep in mind, they have about $100 billion plus of relatively easy to access foreign assets as well, which they can draw down while they get the oil sector back on its feet. But it does at least give them an easy source of foreign exchange. It will bring in considerable sums into the fiscal coffers, which means the government can spend money to rebuild the country and pay the civil service.
Are there any countries with toppled dictators that provide any lessons for Libya right now?
I guess a lot of eyes are on Iraq. It was seen as the next frontier, and it was making many oil executives salivate. Libya is not quite to that extent, but if you look at least in terms of timelines of how long it took for production to recover to its earlier levels, Iraq could potentially reveal some lessons. So if you look in the Iraqi case, the regime fell in 2003. It was not until 2008 until Iraqi oil production returned to its previous levels. And in the case of Libya, it will probably take a few years before oil is back up again to its pre-war levels.
Robert Powell is senior economist with the Economist Intelligence Unit. Robert, thank you.
Thank you very much.
The situation in Libya has pushed oil prices up this morning to more than $85 a barrel. The markets are feeling good this Tuesday. London's FTSE is up more than 1%. Germany's DAX is up more than 1.5%. Asian markets rose as well. Yesterday, U.S. markets were up. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished the day at 10,854. The head of Standard & Poor's is stepping down. Devin Sharma will reportedly leave the ratings agency in September. Questions have been heating up about S&P's downgrade of U.S. debt, though the agency says that's not why he's leaving. China-based Lenovo debuts its tablet computer today. Lenovo hopes its ThinkPad tablet will be the new Apple iPad. But it's a tough world for tablets. Last week, HP discontinued its touchpad after less than 2 months on the market. Marketplace's David Gora has more.
When you hear the phrase tablet computer, odds are you'll think of the iPad. Apple introduced the device last year, and since then, it's sold more than 25 million. Jason Noland is with Robert W. Baird & Company.
It's really tough for other companies, even companies the size of HP, to break into that effectively.
Nolan says that's because the Apple tablet came first.
A great product attracts users, which attracts developers, which attracts more users, and it's kind of a winner-take-all market.
Other companies entered the race late, and they're trying to catch up. There are tablets that run on the Android operating system, and there's the BlackBerry Playbook. Carl Howe is a tech analyst with the Yankee Group. He says companies should stop trying to copy Apple.
I think one of the things that some of the other companies have to do is create new experiences that are different than the iPad.
It appeals to consumers who want to watch movies and listen to music and read e-books. Starting today, Lenovo is marketing its ThinkPad tablet to business users. There's another thing companies may want to keep in mind.
Price matters.
That's Larry Dignan, the editor of the tech site ZDNet. iPads started almost $500. If a competitor can make a device that's less expensive, he says, that'll have broad appeal. Last weekend, HP tried to get rid of those touchpad tablets it discontinued. They were on sale for just $99. Dignan says they flew off store shelves, and HP's site couldn't keep up with the traffic. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by IBM, working to help mid-sized businesses become the engines of a smarter planet. Learn more at ibm.com/engines. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Starting today, airlines will have to prominently post the fees they charge, and they'll have to offer more money to passengers who get involuntarily bumped. It's all part of the new flyer protection regulations, as WNYC's Jim O'Grady reports.
Consumer groups have long complained that buying a ticket online means digging deep into an airline's website to understand its fees. Charlie Lioka of the Consumer Travel Alliance says he'll be interested to see how airlines clearly display fees on everything from early boarding to extra legroom.
I really don't know how they're going to do it because they have so many different fees now and they change so quickly.
Airlines say they strive to communicate clearly with passengers. Steve Lott is with the Air Transport Association.
Airlines already have made many service improvements, and many of the regulations going into effect formalize procedures already in place.
In January, airlines will face even more rules, including notifying passengers at the boarding gate if their flight is delayed or canceled. I'm Jim O'Grady for Marketplace.
And finally, Kellogg is complaining a Mayan cultural heritage group stole its logo. The Maya Archaeology Initiative uses a toucan as part of its trademark. It's not so much that it looks like Fruit Loops frontman Toucan Sam, but Kellogg says there can be only one toucan. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
When the ultrasound machine was introduced in Asia, self-selective abortions erupted across the continent, resulting in 160 million missing girls.
People see this machine as really a way to ensure them a boy.
I'm Bob Moon, new medical technology with unintended consequences. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.